The Fan on Demand.
Ready for some Jays talk? Let Jeff Blair lead the way to October or wherever things go wrong along the way.
And so here we are. The kids are back in school. Everybody else is back in their regular places. It's remarkable how just a few days can change things. How in shaking off the laziness of summer, there is a sense of old patterns and familiarities returning. But you know what? In a wider sense, this is a great time to be a sports fan. Somebody called it the best 100 days to be a sports fan. NHL training camps are just a few weeks away, which means the NBA isn't far behind. The NFL regular season starts this week, and yes, there is the anticipation and, in some cities, dread of September baseball. Here in Toronto, we have plenty of drama, and the Leafs haven't even played their first exhibition game. Toronto FC, once the flavor of the month in this marketplace, now resemble the old mess, firing a coach, giving up goals, and taking aim at the playoffs with the sickening knowledge that Jermaine Defoe wants out that, yes, it all really was too good to be true. And as for the Blue Jays, well, since 1995, they have been, on average, 12 games out of a playoff spot in September 1st, and this year they are 5.5 out of the second wildcard spot. Yet my guess is that for most Blue Jays fans, it still feels as if it's business as usual. Today's news is that 10 Blue Jays minor leaguers have been added as Major League rosters expand, and while two of them, Daniel Norris and Dalton Pompey, seem like gilt-edged prospects, well, it seems a stretch to see them contributing to a playoff push. Or is it? You know, honestly, it's as if we spent all year talking about meaningful baseball in September, then suddenly woke up on Labor Day and realized we weren't quite certain what meaningful baseball would look like. That's a conclusion I reached. So that's what today's first lesson of the new sports year is. It's a question to consider. Is this September meaningful for you Blue Jays fans? And if so, why?
The Jeff Blair Show is on the air on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Join the conversation with Jeff on Twitter using the hashtag Blair Show or call 416-870-0590. Now, here's Jeff Blair.
We will be joined by Grant Wall of Sports Illustrated to talk about the Toronto FC mess. John Molinaro joins us as well. Dave Wills, Tampa Bay Rays radio voice. We'll get you set for the Rays and Jays first game of a three-game series tonight on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. And, of course, at 10:30, Lewis Black, veteran comic regular on The Daily Show, and Jon Stewart will join us and give us his thoughts on the world ahead of his upcoming local stops on his The Rant Is Due tour, which includes September 12th at Massey Hall, September 13th at Centennial Hall in London, and September 14th at the Center in the Square in Kitchener. But before that, we will take your calls on the Blue Jays, 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. We're very pleased at this time to be joined by the TV play-by-play voice of the Blue Jays, the one and only Buck Martinez. Buck, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Jeff, good to be with you. How are you doing today?
I am doing well. So we've got 10 minor leaguers added, 10 call-ups. Daniel Norris and Dalton Pompey, the ones that a lot of people are waiting for. Kendall Graveman, personally, is the guy I'm kind of interested in seeing. He's just sort of shot through the system. We've got Ryan Goins, Anthony Gose, Dan Johnson, George Kateris, John Mabry Jr., Brandon Morrow is going to be pitching out of the bullpen, Sean Nolan as well. Your take, Buck, on 10 call-ups?
It's a lot.
It certainly is.
I don't know how you can utilize everybody, but obviously the Blue Jays still have hopes of getting into the postseason, so why not call all these guys up just so you have so many more options? Yeah, I'm with you. Graveman is an intriguing guy. He's 23 years old. He was a senior draft out of Mississippi State, and he was a Friday night pitcher in the SEC. So he's got some experience, and he's really jumped up in his innings this year. Throws a lot of strikes and doesn't give up any home runs. So, you know, I'm curious to see him. And, of course, everybody knows about Daniel Norris, and now he is a, high upside prospect. And you know, he pitched with Stroman a little bit in 2012 in Vancouver, and you know, these guys know each other, so it's going to be interesting. But Ghost has a place here. You know what a good defender he has become, and Goins the same. And now you get Brandon Morrow back for a little bit of a preview in the bullpen. So it's going to be an interesting month, that's for sure.
Buck, when we talk about Brandon Morrow pitching out of the bullpen, this team has a $10 million option that it has to decide about with Brandon Morrow. I think most of us look at that and go, based on his health, there's absolutely no way they can exercise that option. But having said that, if, and I know this is an if, but if Brandon Morrow looks comfortable out of the bullpen, if he contributes out of the bullpen, I mean, this is a team that needs to do a major overhaul of its bullpen next year, Buck. Is there any chance at all that Brandon Morrow sort of resurrects or even saves his Blue Jays career this month?
I don't see how. The history of injuries is just so dramatic, and you know, at $10 million, you can't fathom that they would bring him back for that price. You know, maybe if they negotiate a new deal and, you know, pay him out. I think he's got $1 million buyout, and you renegotiate a new deal and sign him at a lower rate. But Brandon's probably at that point going to say, why wouldn't I test the free agent market and see if somebody else would give me a chance to start again? But, you know, the Blue Jays know him very well, and he just hasn't been able to stay healthy. And since 2011, you know, he just hasn't been able to take them out on a regular basis. And you know what? As intriguing as his stuff might be, I think, you know, John Gibbons needs more reliable, more accountable guys that you can put in there, you know, whether it's in the bullpen or the rotation. So, yeah, it'd be a surprise if he came back to me.
Buck, what do you expect insofar as John Gibbons' use of Ryan Goins and Anthony Ghost is concerned? Because I've got to tell you, I would not at all be surprised if Colby Rasmus is basically on the bench for the rest of September. That's just my take on it.
No, I agree with you, too. You know what? They're a better team with Pilar and Ghost in the outfield. And, you know what? All you can do is go by what you see. And at this point, I think John Gibbons is going with the hot hands, whether it's out of the bullpen. You've seen what he's done with Sanchez. I think, you know, the same could be said if we see, you know, Nolan or Norris or Graveman come on and pitch well. He's going to go with a hot hand. You know, he doesn't have much leeway right now, as you know. When you look at the standings in the wild card races, 5.5 games with several teams you have to leapfrog over. But the promising part of this month is they play everybody they need to play. They play the Yankees, they're going to play the Mariners, and you know what, they're playing Tampa Bay. And this, to me, this is the biggest test, Jeff, this series coming up. Three games in Tampa, a place where they have never played well. It's going to be a horrible atmosphere for 3 days after coming off a great atmosphere against the Yankees over the weekend. They're going to come in here, and it's going to be a morgue. Mm-hmm. And they're going to have to dig down deep and play up to the same standards they did against the Yankees at Rogers Center. And that's always been a challenge in this ballpark. And this is a real test for them because you know what it's going to be like in Yankee Stadium.
Right.
It's easy to get up for games there. This is where they have to dig down deep, look in the mirror, and say, we got to win this series. We got to win maybe three here.
Buck, is this what meaningful September baseball looks like?
Well, it's better than it has been.
that's true. I don't know if that's a marketing motto, but yeah, it's true.
That's right. I wouldn't want to use that as a slogan, that's for sure. A slogan.
But you're right. I mean, at least there is something there right now, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? Like, you know, Jose's on a great run with homers in five straight games, and Melky wants to finish him. You know, if it is his last month in a Blue Jays uniform, there's a lot of goals out there and a lot of milestones. He has to get 200 hits, finish up what's been a terrific season. Reyes, I think, has an outside shot at hitting 300. Edwin wants probably get 30 home runs. There's a lot of individual goals that will enhance the Blue Jays' team efforts as well. But I think it's going to be interesting. Will Ryan Goins play at second base? He's the best defender they have. There's no question about that. And the way they are unable to score runs without hitting a home run, I'll take defense over offense anytime.
Mm-hmm. What do you think they do with Dalton Pompey?
He's really interesting, isn't he?
Yeah, he...
Just 21 years old.
It's fascinating.
The first year everything came together for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had 317 for the season. He had 9 triples and 9 homers. He's a base-stealing threat. He's a switch hitter to play center field. You know, it'll be interesting to see. I applaud the Blue Jays for exposing him to this atmosphere. And the same with Norris and Graveman and Sean Nolan. You know, get him up here. Let him see what it's all about. If they get in a game or so, that's great. But just being around Stroman and Sanchez and Hutchison and these guys that are going to be this future team for a number of years, let them all go through this together. Let them go into New York Yankee Stadium. Let them go into Fenway Park and see what that's all about. And get that out of the way so when they come into spring training next year, they'll have an idea of where they want to end up and what kind of atmosphere they want to play for in the rest of their careers.
Buck, it was good of you to join us today. I'm looking forward to your work tonight. I'm looking forward to this series. Should be entertaining. You're right. It will be a morgue at the Trop, but the baseball should be entertaining.
Yeah, it should be, and hopefully we'll have a good week.
Thank you, Buck. Take care.
All right, Jeff.
It's Buck Martinez. He is the TV voice of the Blue Jays and Sportsnet as the Jays and Rays get a 3-game series going tonight in Tampa. And Buck's absolutely right. If you've had the chance of seeing a game at Tropicana Field, I don't mind Tropicana Field, but as I always tell people, bear in mind that I spent 10 years at Olympic Stadium. So I've sort of got the ultimate hellhole with which to judge another stadium. I never really minded Tropicana Field. Maybe it's because I like the way the Rays play. But Buck is absolutely right. The atmosphere in there is like a morgue. And especially with the Rays kind of on the fringes of the playoff race, there probably won't be a big crowd there. I guess the good news for the Blue Jays, if there is any good news going into Tampa, there may be a fair number of Jays fans there. And Buck is right. This is a big series for the Jays. And I'm not one of these people who goes around saying that every series is a big series, because if you do that, you end up, you know, Mike Wilner, 7 different biggest series of the 21st century. I mean, you can't do that. But the Jays have got to win this series. They've got to sweep it, I think. Optimally, you want to sweep this. You've got to get 20 wins this month. It's a long, long shot, but you got to get 20 wins this month, 19 wins this month to put you in the picture. And it's a long haul. But the question I'm asking today is, if you listen to this show and other shows in this station, you know that we talk a lot about the importance of playing meaningful baseball in September. Well, here the Jays are. 5.5 out of the second wild card with 3 or 4 teams to jump. And that's the number. The operative number, the thing you worry about the most during a wild card race is the number of teams in front of you and how many games you are relative to other teams in the loss column. Those are the two things you look at. So I want to know from you, is this what meaningful September baseball looks like? Do you consider this 5.5 games out, better than they've been in a while, 5.5 games out of the second wild card spot? Does that make this September meaningful for you as a Blue Jays fan? And if so, why? Brandon in Toronto, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hello, Jeff. Hey,
Brandon.
As always, I think this is meaningful baseball. Well, for at least me, because it's probably the best thing I've seen close. Because I didn't see the World Series; that came a couple of years after. So I think this is meaningful baseball, even for a couple different reasons. Yeah, we're still in the race. I think this lineup still has something to say about it. And we all know if this lineup gets hot, they're probably the best in the league, and they could pull something off. And even just them playing, it's maybe, how about if a couple of these kids show something? We're looking at the future, and I think September is going to show something if our core keeps together. Maybe we're going to have a fire, so that's my opinion. I think there's a lot of things in play in this month.
There's a lot of things in play. I agree with you, Brandon, but does it feel to you like that this is, I don't even want to say a pennant race, does it feel to you like this is a playoff push, though?
Yeah, it could. I think this year they just have to show something, because I think if they lose the series, it could really just go. Mm-hmm. But if they win the series at the Trop, look at the story. If the Jays won the series at the Trop, they're in September. Who knows how many games out? They've done something, so could that be a turnaround? You know what I mean? It really all depends on the series to me.
Brandon, I appreciate the call. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. You can reach us on Twitter. Use the Twitter handle, SN Jeff Blair, and use the hashtag Blair Show as well. Sean and Coburg, you're in Sportsnet 590 Fan. What's up, Sean?
How you doing, JB?
I am doing well.
Hey, listen, I want to clear one thing up first, sir.
Yes.
And that is, I called you on Friday, and I said you were missed in the morning. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And you made a comment about your wife.
Yes.
Okay, I don't like you that much.
Okay.
Anyways, Jeff.
Yes.
Okay, now, you sort of, when you asked that, you're the guy you were just talking to right now. I'm going to get to your question, of the day. But when you said, does it feel like it? To me, it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Like, mm-hmm. I'm only 7 years younger than you are, okay?
All right. Why doesn't feel like it?
Because of the lousy August they had.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, to be honest with you, here's the other thing. It's not like you're just trying to leapfrog one, maybe two teams. There's
right.
a lot of teams in play there. And there's really just the one spot left, right?
Yes.
We can say that other one's gone.
Yes.
Okay. So here's what I'm saying. Meaningful baseball. I know there's a lot of guys they got sitting there, and you can only play, obviously, you know, a certain amount of guys per game, right? But what I call meaningful is I'd like to see some of these guys, especially the guys that you really think are going to be guys that, you know, coming into 2015, got a legitimate shot, put them in some positions that they can play, you know, and because, you know, there's going to be some still good baseball played over this next month. A lot of teams are gunning to make the playoffs, this, that, and the other. And you know what? I'm hoping, you know, as long as he's not mandated to do so, I agree with 100%. Let's sit a couple of those other guys down and let's see what we got. Like Rasmus, for one.
Yeah, I'm with you. Rasmus, Kawasaki. I've got to see Goins on an everyday basis. I want to see Pilar and Ghost in center field. I want to see a bit of Pompey. I really don't care if I see Colby Rasmus again. Colby Rasmus, if John Gibbons wants to DH him a couple of times, he can do that. But Colby Rasmus, as far as I'm concerned, you know, if you saw that the series this weekend against the Yankees, I'm never going to tell you that a guy's given up. I'm never going to tell you that a guy's given up because I don't think professional athletes do that. But I'll tell you what, I think Colby Rasmus may have given up on baseball. I don't think he's given up on the Blue Jays. I don't think he's given up on this year. I think Colby Rasmus has given up in baseball, period.
You know what, Jeff? I almost agree with you because you know what he's looked to me over the last couple of months? Lazy.
Yes.
The guys that look lazy or appear lazy, you know what? They're not into it.
Well, I just don't. There were a couple of at bats this weekend where he just ran up the white flag, and you know, you didn't even get a reaction. You got kind of the walk back to the dugout from him. You didn't get any reaction at all. And seriously, if I'm John Gibbons, I feel under no obligation to play Colby Rasmus. I don't care if he's due a contract next year.
They're not re-signing him anyway, so why bother worrying about his feelings?
Oh, exactly. I don't think they owe Colby Rasmus anything. I don't think they owe him another at bat.
Right.
Appreciate the call, Sean. We got to move on. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. Tom in Waterloo. You're in Sportsnet 590, the Fan. What's up, Tom?
Hey, no. Hey, Jeff. Welcome back.
Good to be back.
Hey, I'll go on the bright side here. We got six versus the O's. If we pick up another game a week, hey, we're tied for first.
Mm-hmm.
But how long has it been since the Jays could put out 6 to 8, maybe 10 of their own kids on that mound?
That is a, you know what? I was sitting here in my head thinking about that. This goes back to Escobar, Halliday, and Carpenter is the only recent comparable I can make.
Yeah, and Alex has taken a beating for the 4 to 5 years that it takes, but these kids are almost there, and you know. We're still alive mathematically this year, but going down the road, there could be some fine arms coming off that mound, Jeff.
Well, Tom, I've been saying for the past while that, you know, Alex's job status has become part of the discussion in this city. I don't think, this is just my read, I don't think Alex is going anywhere. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that despite all the stuff that happened this year, he can hang his hat on the fact that he has finally delivered a homegrown, cost-effective core of young pitchers. Now, I'm not saying they're all going to go on to win Cy Young Awards. I'm not going to say all these guys are going to have whips under one. It's possible some of them may blow their arms out or just be okay, just be nothing special. We don't know if Daniel Norris will be able to achieve the potential that a lot of people see him as having. And we just don't. You never know with prospects. But it's the first time since Escobar, Halliday, and Carpenter that this organization has been able to say there is at least the semblance of a foundation of homegrown pitching. And that is something Alex can hang his hat on. Tommy in Guelph, you're in Sportsnet 590, The Fan. What's up, Tommy?
Morning, Jeff.
Morning.
Little disappointed. I don't think we got much to play for this year. I mean, Melky does, but the chances of Melky coming back and playing for the Blue Jays, I think Defoe's got a better chance of playing another 2 years in TFC than Melky. But
Let me say this, and I'll let you continue. I think the Jays, now I know the Jays are going to make a big push for Melky. I just don't know if it's going to be enough to get it done. And more to the point, I don't know if the timing is going to work out for Melky. I think once he's a free agent, you allow all sorts of other factors to enter into things. It's a lot easier to deal with a guy when you're the only team dealing with him. But having said that, I do believe the Blue Jays are going to make an attempt to sign this guy. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I think they're going to take a good run. We were down at the ballpark Sunday, my kid and I, and we had great seats right beside the Yankees dugout for Jeter. And Melky's a fun guy to watch play. And I tell you, I got to ask you something about this Rasmus kid.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like he has whatever it takes to be an above-average center fielder and above-average hitter in that league. But that last strikeout for him, it was almost like, really? Like, and then he just walked back, like, shoulders down. Who cares? Oh, well, you know, I don't get it. What goes through a guy like that? I'll hang up and thanks. I love your show, buddy.
Thank you. Look, I feel bad for Colby Rasmus. Colby Rasmus has grown up with a father as a hitting coach, a guy who is always in his ear, a guy who is omnipresent, a guy who pissed off a Hall of Fame manager in Tony La Russa, and Tony La Russa is another story entirely. I feel bad for Colby Rasmus. I think Colby Rasmus he's probably just had all the baseball beaten out of him. Whether it's La Russa or his father, he's had the baseball beaten out of him. And he's had a lot of chances with the Blue Jays. But, you know, I think the signs of this were, we saw them early in the year, when Tony Rasmus was talking about how it was a shame that Dwayne Murphy or that Chad Mottola was let go as hitting coach. You just get the sense that Colby Rasmus has about 150 people whispering in his ear. I really do feel bad for Colby Rasmus. I truly do, because I see a guy who doesn't like baseball. It sounds like J.P. Ricciardi talking about Adam Dunn. But I see a guy who doesn't like baseball. And I think that's a shame. I think there's a hell of a story there, if you want to know the truth. Having said all that, he's had his chance in Toronto. It's time to cut the cord with Colby Rasmus and with Anthony Gose and Kevin Pillar and Dalton Pompey up. I'm hoping John Gibbons does the right thing and just plants Colby's ass on the bench. If you want him to DH a bit, that's fine. But you know what you have in Colby Rasmus right now. Let's see what these other guys bring. And keep in mind, this team was at its best when Anthony Ghost, Kevin Pillar, and Ryan Goins were in the lineup. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. We are going to have a lot of discussion about the mess at Toronto FC. Grant Wall, senior writer for Sports Illustrated and soccer analyst for Fox Sports, will join us at 10 o'clock. John Molinaro of Sportsnet, who was all over the story this weekend, he will join us as well. And we'll take your calls on TFC. We're going to continue our focus on the Blue Jays right now. Stephen Pickering, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Good morning, Jeff.
Morning, Steve.
My take on it, on meaningful baseball, from the Blue Jay standpoint, winning, it's over, done.
Mm-hmm.
But what I would like to see is the young kids get a chance to play as much as they can in September, because in that way you can see what they can do under pressure and everything. And you're ahead of the game for next season.
Mm-hmm.
And I think from another standpoint, from meaningful baseball, is we're going to be in series all the way down to the end of September. Teams fighting for that playoff spot. And I want to see what the kids can do in that position. People are going to be going the free agent route or leaving. Why play them now?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what we have, and let's build for next season.
Yeah, I could not agree with you more, Steve. Could not agree with you more. I want to see Goins every day. I want to see Ghost slash Pillar every day. I want to see Graveman Norris as much as possible without their arms falling off. I want to see Dalton Pompey. I want to see them on a regular basis. You know, workload permitting, innings limits permitting, pitch limits permitting. I want to see these guys. I think it's going to be a fun September. I don't know where it's going to end up, but I think it's going to be fun. And as I said last week in Primetime Sports, in a really bizarre way, I feel better about many aspects of this team now than I have at any point in the past 4 or 5 years. I feel better about the young pitchers. I like the core. I feel much better about Jose Bautista. It's a weird feeling, believe me. But I feel much better about this team right now than I have in 4 or 5 years. You know, barring the, you know, that streamers and balloons thing we all went through after the deal with the Miami Marlins. Sitting back and looking at this thing from a distance, I feel better about this team now than I have in a long time. I'm really excited about Hutchinson, Stroman, and Aaron Sanchez. They got me thinking. They've got me thinking that the Jays have a light at the end of the tunnel. Because the absolute first thing you have to do to be a successful organization in baseball is develop your own pitching. It's the most cost-effective way to build a contending team. And even with the odd setback to a pitcher, I think the Jays are well positioned here. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. September 2nd, and I feel optimistic. I don't know what the hell's up with this. We'll take more of your calls on the Blue Jays. And don't forget Lewis Black at 10:30. You think I'm the only angry lefty in this station. Wait till you hear Lewis Black. This is the Jeff Blair Show, and this is Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Like free sports tickets, trips, and memorabilia so you can trick your friends, colleagues, and mistresses into thinking that you're some sort of high roller? Hey, join the club.
Welcome to the club.
The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
See, I'm impressed. Brett Armstrong is our new technical guy. And he's pulled out a song, Pompeii, by Bastille, which I actually kind of like. I mean, haven't heard it before, but that, of course, is in honor of Dalton Pompeii, who was called up. It's the beginning of a good relationship, I think, Mr. Armstrong. All right, that's enough. He's pumping his fist in the room. Now, we don't need all that excitement and everything. We don't need the fist pumping. Anyhow. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. Because if you do that, people are going to think that we have to be happy all the time, and then it doesn't work that way. Tim Margeson on Twitter. Again, the Twitter handle is SN Jeff Blair. The hashtag is Blair Show. Swap May and August records, and everyone would be talking about surging Blue Jays making a playoff push. It's interesting. Shai Davidi and I had this conversation at the ballpark on Sunday about subtract that May, not just from the Jays record, but subtract the month of May from, for example, Edwin Encarnacion statistics. And you really do... You really see the impact of that month. And you really see, I think, if you're looking for a ray of optimism, seeing what the team is capable of doing. John Corbin on Twitter. Play to win in September with whatever lineup is the hottest, even if it's the kids. I think that is 100% what John Gibbons will do. Whatever works on that given day will be what John Gibbons uses. The question for the remainder of the hour before Grant Wall joins us to talk about the mess at Toronto FC. Is this September meaningful for you as a Blue Jays fan? And if so, why? Adam in Toronto, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, Jeff. I'd like to think he's back there fist-pumping his way through this conversation right now. So just to kind of Tom from Waterloo and yourself make a very good point that the Jays have got four, you know, young stud pitchers. But like always, we're talking in September about next year.
Mm-hmm.
Is September meaningful? I think this is a huge September, but it's huge for next year. Now, that was just kind of my feeling on what this September means to kind of the Jays. Now, as a fan base, do you feel that there's kind of like a portion of the fan base out there that kind of just resents the team because of the ownership, because of the way kind of everything was handled this year?
Oh, totally.
Not necessarily wanting them to lose, but if they do lose, it's kind of that satisfaction of, you know, we told you so type thing.
Oh, absolutely.
Kind of the reason why the excitement level isn't what it is. Look what the Raptors did.
Right.
No one cared about basketball throughout the winter. Once they got competitive for the playoffs, look at what downtown was.
But the Raptors are owned, at least in part, by the same people who own the baseball team, right?
No, 100%. But just look at the way, you know, the Raptors and the Leafs operate compared to the way the Jays operate. You know, it seems with the Raptors, MLSC, when it comes to the Raptors and the Leafs, they're willing to spend as much money as it takes.
Well, the problem is that they're both a salary cap league. They're both salary caps, so there's only a certain amount they can spend. And the other thing too, in fairness to the Blue Jays, it's a hell of a lot easier to make the playoffs in the NHL and NBA than it is in baseball.
Absolutely.
Much easier. But I know what you mean. Look, I've said this. You know, in this city, people blame Bell and Rogers for everything when it comes to sports. They just do. And that's the way it is. They're the new Ontario teachers pension plan. Remember how everybody used to hammer the teachers pension plan because of the Leafs, you know, and they were only interested in making money. I mean, that's the way Toronto rolls. And Bell and Rogers are both, you know, they've just replaced the teachers as far as, you know, objects of people's dissatisfaction. Meanwhile, Larry Tannenbaum skates by.
No, I have to agree with that. It's just so frustrating that we both know what the city of Toronto would turn into if the Jays were in the playoffs, just how awesome and how crazy it would be. And it just seems that this ownership hasn't necessarily given the fans, you know, or the team all the tools to win. And it just seems that money is an issue. And in the game of baseball, if money is an issue, you're more than likely not gonna win.
I've got to admit, I appreciate the call. I still haven't figured out the dynamics about the Blue Jays payroll. I truly haven't. You know, Bob Elliott's a great reporter. Bob Elliott reported at the trade deadline that the Jays were telling teams they couldn't add money. Then he was reporting after the trade deadline that the Jays were prepared to add $10 million in payroll. And I think that's, you know, I think that sort of symbolizes everything. I don't think this company's going to sit there and say to Alex, you can't spend an extra $3.5 million. But I think you got to make a case. I keep thinking back to a conversation I had with J.P. Ricciardi. And he was very clear. He said, I can go to ownership for more money anytime. But I can do it once. And it better work. I can't go back and say, hey, you know the $10 million you gave me 2 months ago? Well, it didn't quite work out. Give me another $8 million and I can get out of the mess. And that's just the fact of having a publicly traded company as an owner. You have to make a case. It would be interesting. We'll never know this. It would be interesting to know what would have happened at the trade deadline had the Blue Jays been in first place. It'd be fascinating to know what would have transpired. Rocky and Markham, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Glad to have you back, DA, even though I talk to you on Primetime Sports.
Good to be back.
I think it always it all comes down to momentum, because when you watch the Yankees series, the Jays did come back to win the series against the Yankees, even though it was a farewell tour for Derek Jeter. I think every game is going to make a difference, whether they win or lose, because if they, let's just say, if they win the next 10 out of 15 games, they would be in the thick of things in the wild card, or even though they have a long shot with the division. But I think these call-ups, the 10 players or the 9-10 players they got called up for this month, it's a little bit interesting because they added pitching depth. On top of that, they also added speed with Pompey and Anthony Gould. So it's going to be interesting to see what this team is going to be going down the stretch. And I would like to mention one thing. Even though Daniel Norris made that leap to the big leagues, starting from A Advance. Another player that might be in the similar situation is Matt Smorrow, because I was reading how Daniel Norris taught Matt Smorrow the grip of the ball, and apparently he's been doing well for the Vancouver Canadiens. But that's about it. Thanks for taking my call.
I appreciate the call. Looking forward to seeing Daniel Norris pitch in the majors. Again, I want the best lineup out there starting tonight. I want Goins out there. I want Ghosts out there. Don't want Colby Rasmus. Eddie in Fort Erie, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, Jeff, how's it going?
Good, man.
You know what? When I look at the games in September, it's clear to me that anything could happen months and for the Blue Jays, you know, because, yeah, they're 5.5 out, but you know what? Things like that can happen for a reason. I mean, I think of, you know, the Rockies in 2007. I think of the Rays in 2011, and they were, like, so far that, and yet they made a big, big push, and then they finally made it to the playoffs. And I thought, you know what? If they can do it, we can do it too. And you know what? I still believe in this team because 5.5 is a lot, and I know that there's a lot of teams in front of them, but until they're way, way back, like the second last week of the season, for example, then I'll be like, okay, that's it.
Well, and the thing to keep in mind, and Buck Martinez made this point, at least they're playing the teams they have to beat. At least they're playing the teams they have to beat. I mean, if you're looking for something to suggest that there's a shot, it's the fact that at least they're playing teams they have to beat, and with Goins and Ghosts, they should at least be playing a better brand of baseball. One of the things that has really disappointed me about July and especially August was the type of baseball they were playing. You can't win every game, but you can play good fundamental baseball almost every game. By fundamental baseball, I'm not talking small ball. I'm talking about executing defensively. This is a very sloppy team, or this has been a very sloppy team in August. So I'm hoping we see Ghosts and Goins in the lineup. At least clean that end up. Because if I'm not getting anything out of my center fielder offensively, at least give me a guy who's going to try defensively. And the same thing holds for second base. Bob in Toronto, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
We must remember the famous words of Yogi Berra: it's not over till it's over. And the Blue Jays' schedule in the last 2 weeks of the season sees them playing 8 games against the Yankees and the Orioles, and then finishing up, Yankees in Seattle, and then finishing up the Orioles. So those are teams that if they have a good run against them, they can put something together during that time and maintain where they are, they have a very good chance of getting in the playoffs as a wild card team. You got to figure that the Orioles, they're going to wrap this thing up probably in the next 2 weeks, and that last series of the season isn't going to mean a hill of beans to them.
Well, they'll be. You'd like to think that they'll be getting their pitching lined up, that they'll be resting guys. A lot depends on home field advantage and things of that nature, but there are a couple of things that could happen that could make this month actually break the Blue Jays' way. But first and foremost is they have to play better baseball. And I'll tell you what, they have to tighten up defensively. That will be a start this week against Tampa. If they're tighter defensively, that'll be a start. That is an absolute must. And I've got to think that with Ryan Goins and Anthony Ghosts here, that is going to happen. As much as there's drama around the Toronto Blue Jays, it's in some ways nothing compared to what's gone on at Toronto FC. They were the flavor of the month. They fired their coach. Jermaine Defoe is casting eyes back at England. They're giving up goals. Grant Wall is a senior writer for Sports Illustrated and soccer analyst in Fox Sports. He had the most interesting tweet during yesterday's whole transfer deadline day saga, where he pointed out that there is a similarity between what is going on right now with Jermaine Defoe and Toronto FC and what happened with David Beckham in the LA Galaxy in 2009. The difference is that Tim Lewicki is a lame duck this time with Toronto FC. Grant Wall will join us, and then Lewis Black at 10:30. All that ahead on the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.